As someone who grew up a traditional ACLU liberal, this mechanism for punishment and deprivation without due process is horrifying. Another troubling aspect is the role of the press, which should be the people's last line of defense in such cases. But instead of investigating these groups, journalists partnered with them. If Twitter declined to remove an account right away, government agencies and NGOs would call reporters for the New York Times, Washington Post, and other outlets, who in turn would call Twitter, demanding to know why action had not yet been taken. Effectively, news media became an arm of a state-sponsored thought policing system. I'm running out of time, so I'll just sum up and say, it's just not possible to instantly arrive at truth. It is, however, technologically possible to instantly define and enforce a political consensus online, which I believe is what we're looking at. This is a grave threat to people of all political persuasions. The First Amendment and an American population accustomed to the right to speak is the best defense left against the censorship industrial complex. If the latter can knock over our first and most important constitutional guarantee, these groups will have no serious opponent left anywhere. If there's anything the Twitter files show, it's that we're in danger of losing this most precious right, without which all democratic rights are impossible.
Here's Matt Taibbi, who, say what you want about him, he is an esteemed journalist. He's not in the rare class of a Seymour Hersh, really nobody is, but I mean, he's a real journalist. He's got a leftist bent. He wears leftist, not blinders, but you know, sunglasses. We all see through a rose color darkly. None of us are perfect, but he's telling the truth, and they are so upset. And here he is. He's still testifying as we speak in Congress about this giant organized criminal deep state that was trying to normalize total surveillance and control and censorship. Here's the report.
Chairman Jordan, Ranking Member Plaskett, members of the Select Committee, thank you for having me today. My name is Matt Taibbi. I've been a reporter for 30 years and a staunch advocate of the First Amendment. Much of that time was spent at Rolling Stone magazine. Ranking Member Plaskett, I'm not a so-called journalist. I've won the National Magazine Award, the I.F. Stone Award for Independent Journalism, and I've written 10 books, including four New York Times bestsellers. I'm now the editor of the online magazine Racket on the independent platform Substack. I'm here today because of a series of events that began late last year when I received a note from a source online. It read, "Are you interested in doing a deep dive into what censorship and manipulation was going on at Twitter?" A week later, the first of what became known as the Twitter Files reports came out. To say these attracted intense public interest would be an understatement. My computer looked like a Vegas slot machine as just the first tweet about the blockage of the Hunter Biden laptop story registered 143 million impressions and 30 million engagements. But it wasn't until a week after the first report, after Michael Schellenberger, Barry Weiss, and other researchers joined the search of the files, that we started to grasp the significance of this story. The original promise of the internet was that it might democratize the exchange of information globally. A free internet would overwhelm all attempts to control information flow, its very existence a threat to anti-democratic forms of government everywhere. What we found in the files was a sweeping effort to reverse that promise and use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role. We saw the first hints in communications between Twitter executives before the 2020 election, when we read things like flagged by DHS or please see attached report from FBI for potential misinformation. This would be attached to an Excel spreadsheet with a long list of names whose accounts were often suspended shortly after. Again, Ranking Member Plaskett, I would note that the evidence of Twitter-government relationship includes lists of tens of thousands of names on both the left and right. The people affected include Trump supporters, but also left-leaning sites like Consortium and Truthout, the leftist South American channel Telesur, the Yellow Vest Movement. That, in fact, is a key point of the Twitter files, that it's neither a left nor right issue. Following the trail of communications between Twitter and the federal government across tens of thousands of emails led to a series of revelations. Mr. Chairman, we summarized and submitted them to the committee in the form of a new Twitter files thread, which was also released to the public this morning. We learned Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at State, even the CIA. For every government agency scanning Twitter, there were perhaps 20 quasi-private entities doing the same thing, including Stanford's Election Integrity Partnership, NewsGuard, the Global Disinformation Index, and many others, many taxpayer-funded. A focus of this fast-growing network, as Mike noted, is making lists of people whose opinions, beliefs, associations, or sympathies are deemed misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation. That last term is just a euphemism for true but inconvenient. Undeniably, the making of such lists is a form of digital McCarthyism. Ordinary Americans are not just being reported to Twitter for deamplification or deplatforming, but to firms like PayPal, digital advertisers like Xandr, and crowdfunding sites like GoFundMe. These companies can and do refuse service to law-abiding people and businesses whose only crime is falling afoul of a distant, baseless, unaccountable.
And that's called racketeering
judge.
To do that.
As someone who grew up a traditional ACLU liberal, this mechanism for punishment and deprivation without due process is horrifying. Another troubling aspect is the role of the press, which should be the people's last line of defense in such cases. But instead of investigating these groups, journalists partnered with them. If Twitter declined to remove an account right away, government agencies and NGOs would call reporters for the New York Times, Washington Post, and other outlets, who in turn would call Twitter, demanding to know why action had not yet been taken. Effectively, news media became an arm of a state-sponsored thought policing system. I'm running out of time, so I'll just sum up and say, it's just not possible to instantly arrive at truth. It is, however, possible becoming technologically possible to instantly define and enforce a political consensus online, which I believe is what we're looking at. This is a grave threat to people of all political persuasions. The First Amendment, an American population accustomed to the right to speak, is the best defense left against the censorship industrial complex. If the latter can knock over our first and most important constitutional guarantee, these groups will have no serious opponent left anywhere. If there's anything the Twitter files show, it's that we're in danger of losing this most precious right, without which all democratic rights are impossible. Thank you for the opportunity to appear, and I'd be happy to answer any questions from the committee.
Matt Taibbi, doing a great job in a 4.5-minute opening statement, really boiling down and crystallizing how it's big think tanks, dinosaur media, leftist organizations, all being given governmental surveillance tools to then censor you and your family and then persecute you and basically bring forward the proto-development and implementation of the social credit score. I mean, that's here. And Congress is getting a crash course in it, but many of them are involved in it in the private committee, classified committee hearing meetings. Hell, they've had hearings the last 6.5 years where they just say Alex Jones is a Russian agent and Donald Trump is, and we have the Pentagon, you know, working against him. The Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI. And they haven't been able to shut us down because people have a hunger for truth, and they've not been able to dig up or make up anything wrong we've done. So now they're shifting to levels of lies where I read articles that come out every day about me. And I mean, all of it is just whole cloth lies. Total fraud, total garbage, but that's all they've got. They're not giving up. They're never going away until we stop them. And if you look at how they escalate their power grab when they're challenged, they're leading us into nuclear war. This is an information war. You want folks to fight the globalists. You want people to take on the tyrants. We're doing it, and we're having hands down the biggest effect in this fight. And we're being mimicked. We're being parroted. We're being supported by so many other great prominent people that are looking into our research and finding out it's true. And InfoWars is having its greatest victories ever in hearts and minds around the country and the world. I was just flying around commercial in the United States, got nothing but love last week. Nothing but love wherever I go, compared to quite a bit of hate previously. That's a report to you that we're winning the information war and the Great Awakening is here. But you've got to make the decision on whether or not you want these people to win. And there's nowhere that you can support by spreading the word, by praying for the broadcast, by buying products like InfoWars and InfoWarsStore.com. And those that have been doing it know who you are, and you are the reason we've had such success. Without you, none of these good things will be happening. The enemy recognizes that we're the tip of the spear. That means you're the tip of the spear in the information war for hearts and minds. So I salute those that have supported us, and I just ask those that haven't, why aren't you spreading the word? Why aren't you buying the products? Why aren't you actively doing that? I'm just asking you a question, because we need need you. You need us. We're in this together. So I'm simply asking all of you out there to think about what InfoWars has contributed. Think about how we've been the main target of the enemy because we're so effective and tell the truth. And then to make the decision to financially support the broadcast by getting great products at the same time. It's a decision that you've got to make. And I'm asking you to make that decision. I'm not complaining to the people that have been supporters over the years. Or if you don't have the finances, I really feel bad for you that you can't get these great supplements. And I wish they cost less, but I'm only going to sell the highest quality. But for those that have been on the fence, it's time to get off the fence right now. The enemy wouldn't want this show shut down if it wasn't so effective. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the highest quality CBD oil for your bones, your joints, your brain, your neurological systems. Get our great bone broth. Get our great prebiotic. Get it all. Vitamin D3, you name it, at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. All right. Just wanted to explain that and make that extremely clear about how important that decision is that you have to make for yourself. You're in the driver's seat. You have to make the decision.